It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true Renaissance man. He is an author. He is a scholar. He is also a skier when it's skiing season, of course. A baseball awards presenter, a doting grandfather, a swell dresser, a fantastic father, and a loving husband. Eddie Papowski's number one fan. And also, he has the record for most shows hosted on the Pulse of New Hampshire by a person with curly long hair. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio.
Thank you, J-Dog. You know, the last 3 weeks, I've been out almost every night and morning at different events, and I wish I could drag you to these things to do the introductions, you know, so
anytime.
Thank you. So I just want to say a big shout out, you know, to the Pulse, because it has allowed me such an opportunity to get the Medicaid word out. More and more dentists are signing up. More and more people know that they're eligible for Medicaid. And recently we had a mobile dental clinic here at 2 Delta Dental. And a lot of people on Medicaid were able to get appointments because they don't have, dental homes. So without the radio, I'm not sure if that word would be getting out. So thank you. And speaking of getting the word out, the person I'm about to introduce, Christina Folsick, has a dental background, right, Christina?
I sure do. 28 years in dentistry.
All right. So the purpose of today's show is more on the Delta Dental Mountain Challenge and a race that Christina conceived called Race the Cog, which is featured in our book, Stories from the Starting Line. And we'll get into that. But I first knew you as really in your other, with your other hat as a hygienist. So tell us about that dental background and a little bit about a book that you're writing as well, or almost finished, or maybe it is finished. So tell us about that background. Then we'll get into your running site.
So I fell into dentistry by accident right out of high school, was looking for a job and was a dental assistant. And my boss, he was amazing and took me under his wing, and the whole staff talked me into going to college for dental hygiene. And it became such a gift. It was the best career, giving back. I got to spend 4 years in public health, which was just an amazing experience. And then found myself in New Hampshire practicing dental hygiene. And after COVID, I shifted and I don't do dental hygiene quite as much anymore. I'm focused on the running aspect, but I wrote a book about helping dental professionals fall back in love with their profession again, especially with the challenges we had to face during COVID.
Great. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, that two of the most passionate sectors of people that I interrelate with are hygienists, because they love to repair mouths and make people feel better. I mean, every hygienist that I know is so passionate about, you know, the way they clean teeth and everything else. But it's way more than that. It's the education. And then the other sort of people that are so passionate are the running folks. Delta Dental continues to sponsor so many races, and every week I run into some of the greatest people. And that's, so I've known you as a hygienist, but then also as a superb athlete, and then of course the innovator from Race the Cog. So I know you've gotten more into coaching, and are reluctant to talk about your racing career, but just to give context to people before we get into the mountain challenge, you were like an elite runner, et cetera. So tell us a little bit about that. I know that you're humble, but tell us about that.
It was a wild ride. I never loved running, never saw myself taking it up. I was a professional downhill mountain bike racer, took up high altitude mountaineering, climbed several big mountains, including Denali, and then started seeing people in the mountains running and became curious about how are they moving so fast, ditched the 60 pound pack. And I started running and realized that I had a knack for moving fast in the mountains and really found my thing. I love mountain running. I dabbled in some faster trail running, some marathons, and found myself a sponsored athlete for about 8 years. Had a wonderful opportunity to travel the country and experience different ways of racing and meet new people. And, you know, ultimately found that I wasn't super passionate about the racing anymore, but love giving people an experience. So I tried to take everything that I loved about the races I did around the country and piece them into the White Mountain Endurance Races, which are an experience and a running party, something fun to celebrate everybody.
So you describe your events as an experience, maybe build on that, and then describe also your transition to where you still do some competitive events, but you've really become more of a, a coach, and how that transition occurred.
Yeah, so the running, I feel like I've achieved every goal that I wanted to achieve in my running career and just kind of found myself at a standstill. So starting to take classes and learning more and found that I really wanted to help other people. And my coaching is very different because I coach people on an emotional aspect and a physical aspect. So training should be fun. You should be able to have your family and loved ones as a part of your life while you're training. So my goal is to just improve people's entire life while still maintaining a training regimen and reaching their goals. And then, what was your other question? I'm sorry.
So, whitemountainendurance.com, all one word, whitemountainendurance.com. So, I like that time to adventure. Over the past 5 years, I've totally slowed down. So, this question is like, relevant to me. So, how do you ensure that everyone from the, the person that finishes in the upper echelon and gets to the podium, as well as now the, in my case, the plotter who finishes it at the end. How do you make them in your events feel welcomed and celebrated?
Everybody has a place in the event, and as a society, we always celebrate like phenomenal achievements and the winners, and it is so fun to watch that part of the race, but that's a small portion of the events that we host. And being a race director, you get to see the runners out there really challenging themselves, pushing themselves, working together to cross the finish line. And I never wanted to break down the finish line or the festivities before the last runner came through because ultimately, they spent the most amount of time on the course, and we want to make sure people feel safe and welcome. So when they do cross the finish line, there are people there hooting and hollering and hanging out, eating food, and make sure that there is plenty of food for everybody. Or we have ice cream coming to the events this year, and just giving people a lot of swag, an event that they want to hang out at, whether they are the first person or the last person, they can get together, talk to each other, and really experience a full day with fun socialization activities. And I'll be everyone's biggest cheerleader, first and last person screaming and yelling, like, yes.
That's terrific. And this really hit home to me. I'll just share my personal experience. I describe it in my book, Stories from the Starting Line, which should be out about a week before your race. So on June 17th at the Mount Washington Road Race, we'll be rolling it out. But so when I used to do the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race in around 2 hours, which is okay, but obviously the elite runners do it around 1 hour, but for average, for recreational runners, like 2 hours is pretty good. So I would like, if I got under 2 hours, I would treat myself to a soft serve vanilla ice cream, at that soft serve place out by their Storyland or whatever. So I was kind of in a 2 hour mode, but then the last few years, just for various reasons, like I'm borderline like 3 hours. And so 1 year I finished it. It's actually 3:05 is the cutoff. So I finished it. So with about 100 yards to go, as you know, that last bit is like 22% grade. I said, oh my God, I gotta get this done, under three. So I just got like maybe like 3:04 or something like that. And my heart was palpitating and whatever. And it's like, oh my God. And so then there were several people behind me and they all recognized me. So they all made a beeline to me and said, you know what? We got in under three, after 3:05. We're not even listed in the results. So they did the same effort as everybody, probably more if you think of it, that doing that for 3 hours, not 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that really hit home to me, because when I was doing it in 2 hours, this wasn't even in my contemplation, right? But then now that I'm close to three, it's like, oh my God. So in that case, we've moved the cutoff, I think, now to, 3 hours and 30 minutes, or people can start early or whatever, because I thought how terrible it must have been to, finish the race, put that same level of effort, and then like totally expunged from the record. I had a friend, he appears in the book, he's an older guy named Lucien Trudeau, and he, 1 year, he helped George, who was the 100-year-old guy who used to do it, has now stopped the last couple of years because basically the last couple of years it was like his family lifting him up. So I think he realized kind of diminishing returns. But Lucien was a gentleman to kind of stay with George, and as a result got in over 3 hours, and he wasn't even, wasn't even listed in the results. It was frustrating. So I know what you mean about celebrating the first, and the last person. So when I knew that about you, and I thought, oh my God, this is like someone I can really, relate to, because here you are, like an elite athlete, has incredible results, yet you care as much about the last person as you do the first person. Not dissimilar to our fitness coach here, Tom Walton, who unfortunately recently passed away. His thing was he treated everybody the same, whether you were a superstar or now like a plotter like me. So more on that with Christina, Jay. I mean, I haven't really given you, but just so you know, Jay, I mean, Christina's like at the Olympic level. So the fact that she's with us, I'm just honored. So I think, though, we need a break, right?
We do need a break. Yes. Christina Folsick, owner of White Mountain Endurance. Go to whitemountainendurance.com. That's the website. And race the cog, as its titles and implies. So along with Tom, I am J-Dog. We'll be right back after these messages here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, alongside president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Tom Raffio. And this week's guest is Christina Folsick, the owner of White Mountain Endurance. Go to whitemountainendurance.com for more information there. Having a great discussion on how it all came to be with Christina doing running the company for White Mountain Endurance. And also, that's a tough mountain to climb, but people have done it and people will continue to do it. And it's a great navigating tool, whitemountainendurance.com, to do that. So they'll talk about that a whole lot more. So Tom and Christina, take it away.
Great. So Christina, so last year when my wife Ellen sort of uncovered that you were doing this race, the cog, the week after the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, just to level set the audience. So the Mount Washington Road Race, you run up the auto road, very steep, but it's, it's not necessarily technical. The race, the cog, is on the other side of the mountain, and where the cog is. So Ellen, the few times I'm home in time for dinner, Christina, I have to have a notepad with me because she's always thinking up these ideas for me to help implement. So she said, we've got to get connected with this race. So she connected with you, right? And you guys worked it out, and then the race to the cog. And of course, then I wanted it to have sort of a national presence. So we got Joseph Gray to do it. Basically, as he tells it in the book, he said it didn't take him long to be convinced, how intriguing it was from his perspective to beat the, one of the cog trains, the first one up the mountain. So tell us, but since it was your original idea, how did you come up with that?
So my partner Rem and I were on a winter run, and it was one of those beautiful undercast days, and we ran up to the summit of Mount Washington, and we had started down at the bottom of the Ammonoosuc Trail, and we decided to descend on the side of the cog. And as we're running down, we just started laughing. How fun would it be to try to race the cog? Maybe we'll ask the owners if we can get a group of friends together and see if we can just try to beat the cog to the top of Mount Washington. And lo and behold, like a week later, I happened to be at work cleaning someone's teeth, and we get to talking, and he owns the cog. So we laugh a lot about this. And he said, well, let me talk to the family and see what their thoughts are on this. And everybody thought it was a great idea. So we had a few meetings, and all of a sudden, Race the Cog was born.
Wow, terrific. And then Ellen connected with you and Remington, and the rest is history. And then she even put up
Yeah.
like a double up challenge. So the person who ran the quickest time, if you combine the Mount Washington Road Race and the Cog, got still another special prize. Obviously, Joseph Gray, since he won both races, got that one. And then that then transitioned to this year, the 2023 Delta Dental Mountain Challenge. So that began with the Sunapee races at the end of April, which were terrific, by the way, Saturday and Sunday. And then on June 3rd, the Ascutney Mountain Run. And then the 17th, as referenced when we roll out the book, the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. And then Christina's race to the Cog on June 24th. And then Loon on July 9th. And then the race at the top of Vermont on August 27th. And we're going to the top four out of seven races, it will become our own series. And I think, Christina, the way we're going to score it is we're going to keep it simple. So if you won four of the races, your points are four, and that's the lowest score wins. And if you got a second, third, and a fourth, and a fifth, 9, 12, that would be 14, whatever. So that's how we're going to do it. But in any event, the race to the Cog fits so nicely in that, and it was just terrific. You and I were on the fast train, and Joe Gray was amazing. Joseph Gray was amazing. He's coming back, by the way, and he's actually going to stay the week between the Mount Washington Road Race and your race. In any event, he had it figured out in his head exactly how fast he had to run, so he had it definitely in his head. And so, as you and I, we were on that train, and as we, he was way ahead of the train for most of the race, right? But then towards the end, remember we were catching up and we're shutting go. And then he put a second gear out there. It was unbelievable because, this is like a steep thing. He made it look like he was doing a 100-yard dash, and it was very technical too. So it was just great to see. And then Christina developed this in waves. So I know Sam Woods did a he beat the either the second or third train, and his kids were screaming. So such a great concept, and so I'm glad you're having it come back. I know it's not easy to put on a race. So thank you, and hope to well, definitely will definitely see you. Do I have a spot on that train, do you think?
Tom, I requested a where I was last year? That's your spot this year. So
Perfect.
you
Now,
get primo seating.
perfect. Now, unlike you, who totally dressed to the nines, I'm just dressed in, regular things. So why do you dress, when did dressing up in various costumes, when did that become a tradition for you?
Because I am shy. I've been traditionally shy my whole life. And I figured out that the only way I could talk in front of a few hundred people to start a race is if I had a costume on, because I didn't feel like I was myself. And then it just became a thing. And now I could talk in front of people without a costume, but people expect me to. So I can't disappoint the race fans.
Got it. Well, you were fabulous, and well, you've done great, because I think if you're in a position where you do have to speak, like Ellen doesn't believe this, but I don't know if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs, but it's kind of a personality type, and there's four things, but it's an E, extrovert, and I. And I'm actually very highly I, meaning introverted. But if you're in a position, whether it's you're wearing a costume making a speech, or whether you're CEO making a speech, that's what you have to do to get out of your comfort zone. So I give you a lot of credit. Let's switch gears a little bit, and talk about there seems to be a lot, and it may not be statistically true, maybe it's just the reporting, but it does seem like there are more accidents and unfortunately people dying in the Mount White Mountains in recent years. Is statistically that true? And how do you educate hikers and runners, on when not to try a hike and things like that? So maybe statistically you can get into whether there has been more lately and what can we do about it?
So there has been a lot more, and a big reason is there are more people recreating, which is wonderful. But with that, social media is a blessing and a curse. And on social media, people post the good. They post the, wow, I survived this terrible storm and look where I went. But what people aren't showing is that the reason a lot of these people are still here is they do turn around when conditions aren't safe. They do check the forecast. They realize that they're like right now there's a lot of snow up high. There were two accidents this weekend. So that's one of the big things that we try to educate people on is the importance of safety. And we use the pre-race meeting to talk about Leave No Trace safety and making sure that you go in the mountains prepared.
So we might want to use the Race to the Cog. That's an educational opportunity. So if I'm listening to this and I want to sign up for a Race to the Cog, how do I do that? And I assume there are spots available.
There are. So there are two places to sign up. One is on ultrasignup.com, and ultrasignup, you type in Race the Cog and the event will show up and you can register right there. The other spot is wmeraces.com and click on Race the Cog. It is not a cheap race to race. And the reason it's not cheap is we pay for all your stuff to go up the train. We pay for your train ride down, and then you get well, there's the food truck, the ice cream, the DJ. We have a physical therapist on site. So we're bringing a lot more vendors, again, bringing it back to that experience. And family members can go directly to the Cog Railway website and book their tickets for the train so they can watch their significant other run to the top of the mountain, and then they can both ride down together. So
it's an awesome experience, having done it last year, and the post-race celebration and the food is awesome. So if you're a runner, you sign up to run. And again, the easiest thing might be to do is just Google Race the Cog and you'll get all the information. You'll get the train ride as part of your registration fee, and then your family, you know, buys tickets to go up and watch you. So it's a fun experience. And if you've never been up to Race to the Cog, I would urge you to use that weekend of June 24th. So, Christina, let's switch gears a little bit. Do you offer coaching or training plans for your races?
I do. So there are basic generic training plans. They're pretty cheap. They're $40 for a 12-week training plan. The other options are one-on-one personal coaching. I do only have one spot open right now for that. And the other thing I offer, which is really cool, is customized 12-week coaching plans. So athletes can work with me to build a schedule that works around them so that they can fit in all their commitments and parties and family occasions and still get their training in for the event. And they have a customized training plan that sends them an alert every day with their workouts.
Awesome. So it's whitemountainsendurance.com. One last question before I turn it back over to Jay. You obviously have really developed whitemountainendurance.com. You and Rem make a good team. It's great. I love seeing both of you in action. Yeah. So what would be your top one or two goals that you want to achieve for White Mountain Endurance in 2023?
Continue to grow. We're looking at adding 3 new events next year, which is really exciting. And keep providing a fabulous experience for everybody.
Great. And I hope to see everybody both at the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. Stay up there. It's good for the economy. And then do Race to the Cog. Christina Folsick, you're always so humble with your athletic endeavors, but I want people to know that this is like an elite athlete that's taking her knowledge and she's now imparting it to the community. J-Dog.
Yes, thank you, Christina. It's Christina Folsick, this week's guest, owner of White Mountain Endurance. Go to whitemountainendurance.com, as Tom mentioned, and Race the Cog. And another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio is in the books. Fear not, we'll be back with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. For Christina Folsick and Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I am J-Dog, and we'll be back with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.